Welcome to the Dominion Embassy Broadcast. Lord, I love to sing your praise. You are about to hear a kingdom living message from Reverend Kofi Asa of Dominion Embassy, a ministry committed to unveiling our Lord Jesus Christ and his kingdom system. Reverend Kofi Asa is also a pastor at the Prevailing Word Chapel. Please sit back and enjoy this anointed and insightful message.
We want to look at God's original way as far as leadership is concerned, because leadership has gone through some corruption, but God wants us to go back to leadership as he really intended it to be. Hallelujah. So the broad thing is about Christian leadership, but you quickly realize that you are going to find some of the principles, some of the things we are engaging in today, you're going to find it relevant as far as leadership outside, even the Christian organization and all that is concerned. So we are learning today from point number 28 that leadership does not mean being the best man with the best strategy which should be adhered to. Leadership does not mean being the best man with the best strategy which should be adhered to. You know, the tendency that we have is that when we think about leadership or a leader, we think about the best person. We think that God looks through and he chooses the naturally the best so that he makes them leaders. But God doesn't do that. The Bible says that man looks to the outward, but God looks upon the heart. There are people who are leaders chosen by God who will never be chosen by human beings. Okay, and there are people that human beings have chosen who will never be chosen by God. So when we are looking at leadership, it is very easy and tempting for us to look at it from a man's perspective. Man looks on the outward, so that it is easy for even Christian people to also follow the way that the world chooses leaders when they look to the outward. Samuel, who was a great prophet, a judge, and a prophet, he made a mistake when he looked upon Shammah and he looked upon his brother when God said, "Go and anoint somebody in the house of Jesse as a king." He looked at the man's countenance, and this is what the prophet said. He said, "Oh, the Lord's anointed is before him." And God said, "No, Samuel, you think that it is the first and it is the best that is made a leader, but no. He made the other six or so sons of Jesse pass before Samuel. And God said that, no, I haven't chosen any of these ones. The one that God chose was somebody who was discarded that nobody would choose. He was not even invited as a nominee to parade so that at least maybe he will be considered. That is what I want you to understand, that man always looks to the first and then the best when it comes to leadership. So it is easy for us to make mistakes when we are considering Christian leadership. Well, somebody says, "A pastor, if we are all born leaders, then why are you saying that God appoints certain people or looks to the heart to appoint certain people leaders?" Here I'm talking about positional leadership, because although we are all born leaders, every human being is born a leader, and if you are born again, your leadership ability is two times that of the unbeliever. Yet You are potentially that way. You should be made into a leader. That is what Jesus meant when he said, follow me and I will make you a fisher of men. I will make you somebody who is over men. I will make you an influencer of men. Not just influencing them with the gospel, but influencing them with the principles that I'm teaching you. So, although we are all born leaders, we must allow ourselves, as we are doing, as you are listening, to be groomed and to be made into what you already potentially are. Now, I want you to understand that the principle of choosing the natural best and the natural first has been abandoned by God. It has been abandoned by God. You know, when God wanted to choose among the sons of Adam, he realized that he did not choose Cain. Although Cain was the firstborn, but he chose who? Abel. Why? Because all throughout the Bible, you see that the principle of the natural first and the natural best is always bypassed by God. So, secondly, when he was choosing the sons of Abraham, he did not choose Ishmael. He chose who? Isaac. All right? And then thirdly, when he had to choose the sons of Isaac between them, he chose Jacob and not Esau. So you see, something is happening, and God is trying to teach us a certain principle in his looking on this earth and choosing somebody to be a leader. Not Cain, but Abel. Not Ishmael, but Isaac. Not Esau, but Jacob. Not Reuben, who is the firstborn of Jacob, but he bypasses him and goes to pick Joseph, who is the firstborn of Rahel, right? He did not choose the firstborn of Jacob with Leah. He went to choose the firstborn of Jacob with Rahel. And he was the one who received, as it were, the inheritance. Now, when he had to choose between the sons of Joseph, the elder one was called Manasseh and the younger Ephraim. But Jacob prophetically crossed his hands, and that was symbolic of the way God is going to choose us in the time of the crossing of his hands. Because when God crossed his hands, he was prophetically indicating one of the ministry of a prophet is to explain signs. Why something has happened this way and not that way. That was an important part of the ministry of the Old Testament prophet, explaining signs. So when Jacob crossed his hands to put his right hand upon Ephraim the younger, and then the left hand upon Manasseh, who was the elder, he was saying that under Jesus, when he dies on the cross, under the dispensation of the reign of the cross of Jesus, he is going to abandon the first choice, the best choice, and he is going for people who are undeserving of it. Because if God doesn't do that, grace can never kick in. But he has to create an atmosphere and prepare, foreshadow a time that he is going to choose people, not because they deserve it and they look it, but he's going to choose them and make them leaders by default. So you also notice that when it came to the choosing of a king over Israel, that's the sixth thing, he chose David over Saul, King David over King Saul. And then finally, a seventh of the principles presented in the Bible, God bypassed the first Adam and he chose the last Adam, not the second Adam. The second Adam is tempting because then there will be a third. But there is a first Adam and there is a last Adam. That's how the Bible calls him, the last Adam. Hallelujah. So he bypassed Adam and then he came to choose Jesus Christ, who is the last Adam. I believe that when God was walking through the Garden of Eden and shouting or calling, Adam, where are you? I believe that, first of all, he may have been calling for Adam, the physical Adam, but I believe God knew what had taken place. And God was prophetically crying out that Adam, referring to the last Adam, Jesus, where are you? Because God had to search the whole of heaven and he had to make an appeal, so to speak, that who will go for us? Who will deliver us? So when he said, Adam, where are you? He was talking to the physical Adam, but his heart was crying out all throughout the time he shouted first in the garden, Adam, where are you? All throughout the Old Testament, God was crying out that, Adam, where are you? Because he knew that it was in the last Adam that the works that he wanted to be done on this earth will be done. Hallelujah. So you see, ladies and gentlemen, throughout the Bible, God has demonstrated enough to make us know that he bypasses the first and the best. The natural first and the natural best, God, we have seen, has been bypassing them. And he did all this thing to foreshadow his choice of Gentiles by grace. He's crossing his hands, not on his firstborn, but to touch on the Ephraims of our day, talking about us Gentiles. Hallelujah. Why does God do that? It's simple. God is so great that he doesn't need to get the best in order for him to deliver. Okay? He doesn't need to get the first in order for him to deliver. Men will look at, well, if a leader, he must be that. I tell you, some of the people, we think that they are leaders and we choose them as leaders. God will never pick on them. He will never pick on them. He will never pick on them. If we allow him, he will choose some people over us that we will say that he's a round, plug in a square hole. In our eyes, we see that, no, this guy shouldn't have been a leader. Why did he worry himself? Why does he want to lead? He doesn't have it. But I tell you, God does not choose after the manner of man. That is why you need to know that everybody under the face of this earth can be a leader. That is why you need to know that when it comes to leadership, you shouldn't say, I'm not like this, I'm not like that, I'm not like that. I don't have this temperament, I don't have that temperament. I am not the type. Oftentimes, God chooses people who are not the type in order to confound the types, so that they know that he is a master of the game. And he doesn't need anybody who is clean or immaculate in man's eyes. He needs you the way that you are. So everybody can be a leader. That is why if you are chosen as a leader, you must know that you were chosen not because you are the best in the church. It's not that. You are chosen as a leader because you are actually the least in the church. You are the least, the most unlikely. We are just leaders by default. We are not the first choice. It's because he has to bypass the first and the best that he laid his hands upon us. So leadership must always make you humble. Anytime God appoints you as a leader, or as we have said that we are leaders potentially, it should not make you grow wings. and begin to walk on people and begin to maltreat and minimize people. It is because leadership actually should humble you. If you are made a leader, then it means you should humble yourself, because God chooses the least, not the best. And I want us to look at that in the book of Matthew chapter 20 and then verse what? Matthew chapter 20 verse 25.
We'll be back briefly to continue with the word. Dominion Embassy is a non-denominational teaching ministry, and our mission is to enable people to rule in life through acknowledging the treasure of the Lord in them. Our purpose is to teach about the treasure of the Lord, namely Jesus and His kingdom system. Our vision is to fully acknowledge the person, principles, and performance of Jesus for mankind to teach the kingdom system of God. And our strategy is to bring the kingdom message and ways of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to practical living, teaching and preaching, literature, seminar, and audio visuals, all in the subliminal style of Jesus Christ. Welcome to the Dominion Embassy broadcast.
What are we doing? We are learning God's original ways, not man's tried and tested ways of leadership. We are going back to the scriptures and we are trying to do an apostolic work, breaking those fallow grounds, breaking, as it were, new into better common grounds, so that God's work can be done the way that He has always longed for it to be done. Look at Matthew chapter 20, verse 25. But Jesus answered, Jesus called them to Himself and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them." So what is Jesus talking about? He's talking about leadership. Okay, they lord it over them. And those who are great, you know that the great is talking about leaders, exercise authority over them. "Yet it shall not be so among you." That's in Christian leadership. "But whoever desires to become great," we know that the great here in the context is talking about a leader. Okay, "whoever will become a leader among you, let him be your servant. And whoever desires to be first," the first lady or the first gentleman or the first person, okay, whoever, we know is referring to a leader. "Whoever desires to be a leader among you, let him be your slave," or the least. Why is it that a person who should become the leader should be a servant or a slave? It is to make him eligible for leadership. It is to make you qualify for leadership. That is why you have to be humble. Or God is requiring for us to humble ourselves so that He will choose us the least and make us into the leaders He has designed for us to be. So leadership is very humbling, so that God's power will rest upon you. Hallelujah. So that what? God's power will rest upon you. So God does not choose the best to be a leader. He chooses the least, and then He magnifies the least by grace. Let's read that in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and then verse 9. He chooses the least so that the person is qualified for an enabling power. We call it in religious or spiritual terms grace, so that he can receive enablement, divine enablement, above his training, above his natural skills, for him to be able to lead the people of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and then verse 9. What does Paul say? "For I am the least of the apostles, who am not worthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, by his enabling power, by his ability, I am what I am. And his grace towards me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, not my natural self, because I'm still the least, but the grace of God which was with me. Yeah, that is what happens. God took the least, somebody who was destroying the church, and put grace upon him and magnified him, so that Paul will not get lifted up. He will know, I am just a leader by default. It's grace that has made me so. So all of us who are listening, we should not count ourselves out of leadership. Let not men put you down. If men were allowed to choose a leader, certainly among the apostles, they wouldn't have chosen Peter. Why Peter? We know historically that he was not even literate. There were people who were accountants there. There were people who were wonderful. Luke was with them. He was with them. He was a physician, a medical doctor. But God looked at the fisherman, the uneducated, and said, look, I'm going to build something upon your confession and upon you, so to speak. So let's not count ourselves out. Let's not rule ourselves out. Don't look at your ability and say, look, I can't pastor. Don't look at your ability and say, well, I can't lead worship. I can't do this and I can't do that. You can't do it. Do you know why? Because it's not a matter of being the natural best with the best human skills or abilities to sing or something. No, he can choose somebody with a crooked voice and put his grace upon him so that he can lead his church. Every one of us is a leader, and God is bringing us to that point where we can avail ourselves, the Lord, give me grace. Because the people who are the natural people, do you know the problem? They are not eligible for grace. They feel that they can do it because they are good orators. They are very nice. When they stand before people, they don't shake. They know how to deal with human beings. They dance psychology to PhD level. But God says, put your psychology aside. I don't work that way. I work with divine ability. Christian leadership is a divine ability. Hallelujah. A pastor does not have to always be somebody who is always smiling. Ha! You must have a cheerful face. God can look at somebody who doesn't have a cheerful face and put his grace upon the person to lead. Yeah. Whilst all the laughing people and the nice people, Mr. Nice, you, everybody likes you. They are there. Yeah, when they say chooses, oh, let's choose the one we like. He's the one that God, he will take care of us. But God can look and say, no, choose this person. I choose this person. Hallelujah. Wow. So if you are made a leader, please don't get proud. Don't think you are better than the people whom you are leading. Humble yourself, that the power of God will rest upon you. 1 Corinthians 1:25. It's the way God does things. He always chooses the weak things. That's his style. He goes for the second choice, who is discarded by everybody, the Gentiles. And he says, I'm going to put my grace upon you. But don't get proud. Don't get proud over all those other people. Humble yourself, because you are just a leader by default. Isn't that wonderful? It's great. It's wonderful. Look at Ephesians 3, verse 8. Ephesians chapter 3 and then verse 8. To me, who am less than the least of the saints. Question: was Paul telling lies? Did God inspire Paul to tell lie that he is actually not the least of the saints, but God allowed him to say that? It's real. It's true. Says I'm less than the least of the saints. This grace was given. Because when you see yourself as the least, then you qualify for grace. Less than the least. He bypassed all the strong saints and said, look, I need you. Because through you, I can do things that people will see that no, that's not a doing of a man, because he's not a natural leader. It's a doing, natural leader, you understand what I mean? It's a doing of the grace. Wow. Wow. So, I need to make you to understand that God actually wants us to harvest opinions. If you're a leader, one of the skills you must develop is to harvest opinions and strengths and commitments and direct them. Direct the strength, direct the opinion, direct the commitment. Okay, that's your job. It doesn't mean that you have the best of opinions, you have the best of strength, you have the best of whatever thing, but you harvest. Harvest means that you have to sow something. So whatever thing that you desire to harvest, what do? You sow it. You sow it. So that sometime you can harvest. Any farmer who does not sow anything cannot harvest anything in future. So what do? You have to learn to sow things. That's why you must come down to the level of your people. Talk with them. As you talk with them, what happens is that you sow some things in them, some ideas in them, some way of thinking in them, a certain culture in them. In future, you see that that thing that you sowed by that interaction, the day has come. And you'll be able to harvest those ones. That one, it becomes very easy for you to lead your people, just because now the whole thing is coming from the people, not even from you. Yeah. The ideas, the opinions, it's all coming from the people. And it looks like your idea. Do you know why? Because you sowed it. You sowed it, and then they developed it. And later on, when they are talking about it, they will say things like, God showed me, God taught me. But 5 years ago, you taught them something which they have developed and they have taken ownership of. So when you are asking their opinions and all that, it is a harvested stage of what you earlier on imparted unto them. So you see that a time comes that harnessing even people's opinions is just synchronizing, just because you have sowed it and now you are reaping it. Wow. If you want a particular way of thinking, you have to be that thing yourself. And then as you interact with the people, you sow it into them. A time will come, you ask them, how shall we do a particular thing? They say, this is how we shall do it. And it's like you talking, just because you sowed something which they have developed and which they are claiming ownership of. And once that thing, opinion and all those kind of things comes from them, they feel like they are a part of it. They feel committed to it, just because the suggestion came from them or the idea came from them. And they forget that many years ago, you sowed a certain message, understanding, that is making them think that way. Wow. And that is how you are able to harvest from a lot of people opinions and their strengths, mental strength, their ideas, their commitment. You harness it and you direct it towards the vision of the organization. One area that you don't need to compromise if you're a leader is the vision or the what. What are we here about? What do we want to achieve? That one is something that is almost like faith. Okay? That is not something which is negotiable. The how, I'm sure that you've been taught about this. How to achieve it is what should be left to the creative abilities of people, so that you can elicit these things from them, and once from them, they feel a part of what is going on because they made a brilliant suggestion that you said, yes, we are going to do it this way. So leadership is a harvesting of ideas and opinion. One of the important qualities, we are not doing qualities of leaders, we are just doing leadership. But one of the important qualities of a leader is openness. Openness. Look at James chapter 3 verse 17. Openness, especially as far as the how, the strategy, the method of achieving a vision is concerned. James chapter 3 and then verse 17.
I hope you've been blessed by the word. In case you've not accepted Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior, kindly say this after me. Dear God, I repent towards you and sin. Come into my heart. I make you Jesus my Lord and Savior. Thank you for forgiving all my sins already, saving me from hell and accepting me into your kingdom as your royal child. In Jesus' name, amen. For this and other kingdom messages and books from Dominion Embassy, call 020-8078-535. Visit our website at www.dominionembassygh.org or our offices at No. 1 Karat Avenue, Eric Warden Street, near Zoom Lion offices, off Queen of Peace Academy, West Anaji Estate, Takoradi, Ghana. God richly bless you. Lord, I lift your name.